Welcome to the SEI Podcast Series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. To learn more about the SEI, please visit our website at www.sei.cmu.edu. My name is Shane McGraw, and today I am pleased to introduce to you Tim Chick, a senior member of the technical staff at the Software Engineering Institute. Tim works on the Team Software Process Initiative, where he is responsible for defining, developing, and transitioning into practice high-performance software and systems engineering practices based on the principles and concepts in TSP and CMMI. His work includes applied research, product and development, product and training development, education and training delivery, and consulting in the domains of software engineering and systems engineering process improvement. In today's podcast, Tim will be discussing the fundamentals of Agile, specifically what it means for an organization to be Agile. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you.
So let's start off by you giving us a little bit of background on what Agile is. It's a buzzword you hear throughout the software community today. Can you tell us what Agile is and what it means to be Agile?
Well, at its core, Agile really came from the Agile Manifesto, which was first written in 2001. Bunch of guys got together. I think they were on a vacation, actually, and they started talking, and they came up with this manifesto, and then they published it. There's a website. You go out and see it. From that, it's evolved slightly. Now there's basic Agile principles. There's 12 of them. It's really focused on self-directed individuals, team, and environments. And there's other things that they value. It's really core to their principles, like early delivery, a lot of real major focus on customer satisfaction, customer importance. Those are the products, those are the services that you do first in this whole iterative development concept.
Okay, so let's talk to the listeners. Tell us what are some of the specific approaches? What are the names of some of these approaches that people can look for?
So the two most popular Agile approaches is really Scrum and XP. Scrum is really a planning and project tracking technique used by teams. It also has a really key element in terms of managing customer expectations. It uses a concept called a backlog, for example. It's basically the customer comes in and says, here are the stories, here's story points or the features that I want in my product. Here's the prioritization of what's most important to me. Based on that, the team takes that input, they pick the most highest priority features that that the customer wants, and they build a plan to do that in terms of what they can accomplish within a set period of time or a time box. Usually no more than 6 to 8 weeks, usually closer to the 2 to 4 weeks. And then they execute, they build those features, and at the end, what they want to have is a deliverable software product to the customer that the customer could, if they chose to, could actually start using it, right, immediately. At a minimum, it should be working code at nothing else as a demo to the customer to get more feedback, to reprioritize, to get that concept is, are we on the right track? Are we really building what you want as a customer? And at the end of that cycle or iteration, they would have what's called a retrospective, which is a stop and say, okay, how did that iteration go? What can we do to improve it? What else needs to be done? Another key factor of the retrospective is refactoring. It's another technique, which is actually kind of an XP technique. It's based on the architecture, based on the design, based on the features we've implemented to date, what code really needs to be rewritten in order to be able to maintain the product, as well as quickly be able to give the customer more features in the future.
So what's an Agile organization look like? Is it easier for large companies, small companies? Isn't it easier fit for the size you are, the type of work you're doing? Can we get into that a little bit? What does an organization look like that's implementing Agile?
Well, it's all spectrums. If it's a really large organization, it's usually a subset, like a division or a team or a project trying to implement Agile techniques. If it's a small company, it could be the way in which they do all of their products, all their services. And really what comes down to Most organizations who are really successful at Agile are usually on the smaller side, smaller companies.
Is there
companies.
Any research documenting this or backing this information up? Is there anything out there that people can go and look up showing that it fits in a certain type of environment?
Yeah, Capers Jones implemented, published a book called Software Engineering Best Practices. I think it was released last year, actually. And in that, he actually rates a lot. I mean, he goes through like hundreds of software practices, methodologies. And out of that, he actually ranked the top four in three categories, small, medium, and large applications. And kind of a way to think about what's a small, it's really an application that could be built by a team of probably less than 10 people over several months, right? A medium would be either one team over maybe a year or so, or maybe it's a couple teams over several months type of application. A large application would probably be multiple teams over multiple years, right? That's kind of how he grouped them in those three categories. He defined them in terms of function points, but not everyone's familiar with function points, so I like trying to translate that into people size. And in that, he ranked Agile as number one in small, but Agile really didn't make the top four list at all in large applications, right? And he ranked Agile number two in the medium, right? Barry Boehm also wrote a book several years ago where he talked about the criteria. He had basically five key points saying, well, should I use traditional plan-driven methods or should I use Agile methods, right? And based on those five criterias, for example, it was a criticality of the application. Would lives be lost? Or is it a convenience type application? A convenience application, he says, is more agile based, and real many lives would be lost. The other extreme of that axis, it's more plan driven techniques would be appropriate. And he had four other criteria. So those are the types of things you can look at and that support that statement.
Very good. Now, one thing I know is that organizations are interested in how to select the right agile method for their environment. How do they go about that?
Yeah, and so it's like I said, you know, Barry Boehm had the five criterias. I like to try to simplify it to three, right? The three basic criterias is my organization ready to change, any type of change, right? How hard and fast are we with our current status quo and approaches of doing things? If they're open to change, they're open to ideas, and not just in words, but also in actions, you know, any type of change, whether it's Agile, whether it's CMMI, whether it's just changing the building office space or whatever it is, right? It takes resources, it takes time, it takes effort. When you want to change your approach to doing business, such as developing software, you have to think about, you need multiple levels of sponsorship. You need executive sponsors, you need the team leaders, the first line managers need to support this change. And you need developers willing to give it a shot and to become efficient at the new methods and the new approaches. So that's one criteria. The other criteria is, well, what am I building? What is my product that I have and that I need? And so for that one, the question is what are the characteristics of my product, right? Is it life critical? Will someone die if I have a defect in my product, right? Or will it just be inconvenience, right? That really dictates which methodology or technique I should want to use. Another example would be, who are my customers, my stakeholders, right? If I have a really diverse stakeholder group, and they really don't really agree on what is the top priority, what are the key features of my product, I really probably need a traditional systems engineer or requirements analyst type of approach for giving my team that feedback in determining, well, what do I fit in this iteration, what do I fit in this time box, right? So that's really looking at, is some of the different Agile techniques appropriate for my product that I'm building, as well as my customers' expectations and needs. And based on that, I can pick. And maybe it's a combination of some very agile techniques as well as with some traditional techniques, that marriage of methodologies, which is really what most organizations do. And the third and final criteria really is my organizational culture. For example, paired programming, which is extreme programming XP technique, right? If my organization really has a lot of interpersonal, collaborative type of issues, they'd have a hard time two people sitting together without arguing and really collaboratively writing code, the same code using one keyboard, you know, at one time, right? I really would have to deal with the collaborative issues before I would try to use the extreme programming technique of paired programming. Right. So those really are the three major criteria one should use. And trying to figure out, well, what is the right methods for me, for this project, for this organization?
Right. Now, like anything else with companies implementing something, a lot seem to struggle with implementing Agile consistently through the organization. So how do you implement Agile? And once it's implemented, how do you maintain consistency?
I've talked, you introduced me, and I do a lot of consulting and traveling around companies. And so some people I've talked to, they really love Agile, right? They love the techniques, and it's working really well for their team, for their project, but they're really having a hard time getting other projects in the organization to be just as successful as they are, right? That really is the key. Other organizations I see that are doing Agile, they like it, but they're really struggling with maintaining it. People come, people go, right? As well as the whole organizational. And so to fix or to address some of those concerns, some of those issues, on the TSP team, you mentioned the other TSP, we developed a planning framework, which is Agile. It really is in alignment with the manifesto as well as with the 12 Agile principles. But instead of the Scrum technique, which is really uses some pseudo measures, it uses features, it uses velocity. The planning framework, which is that the TSP uses, it actually uses more precise measures like task time and schedule, right? Dates, as well as size, right? Size of your products. And with that consistency of a measurement framework, I can now communicate across teams, across projects, where a lot of Agile teams really struggle, where one team unit that's pretty stable, the team members stay on that same team over a decent period of time, they really gel in terms of their definitions of what a feature is or what a story is, right? But each team gets a slightly modified definition or interpretation of what that is, and that really impacts your ability to estimate and to really build your commitments with your customer. And so your velocity really takes major changes every time you change a member of your team, right? So that's one issue that a lot of organizations, when they want to do it across board. The other one is in the size of the application they're trying to apply the principles, right? With the larger applications, the more complicated applications, especially when you start talking about systems of systems or multiple applications having to work together that are actually being developed in parallel of each other. For those, quality really becomes important. And regardless of small, medium, or large applications, Agile pretty much says the most successful measure is working software. And that's true. That's the goal of all software developers, to build a product that works, that meets the customer's needs, right? But as you get larger, that medium and that large approach, you really need some more leading indicators to quality. And so inspections, reviews, they really become key. You want to do those types of techniques on all of your products, right? Of anything, whether it's a document, whatever it is, your architecture, your designs, to help remove those defects as quickly as possible so you get that working product at the end. Whenever you do that integration for that customer, whether it's every iteration at the end of the year, whatever it is that meets that customer's needs. And so in order to do that, TSP created this quality framework, right? Which is collect a little bit of data about those defects. When are they injected? What is the impact of those defects? As well as emphasizing the need to do early on quality measures such as reviews and inspections, right? And so once you have that, right, you have a focus on quality, which needs to be a little bit more than just working software for larger and medium applications. And you have a more precise measurement for articulating where I stand on this project, where I stand in this project, my ahead schedule, my behind schedule. Do I need more people? Right, all those types of things you do when you're managing a project. Well, it just says there's four key measures: time, size, defects, and schedule performance. I now actually have a measurement framework. It's pretty simplistic, but it allows me to answer a lot of questions, not just from the planning and quality perspective, but also is how's my process performing overall? Did I make the right selection between the traditional methods and the Agile methods? And if I didn't, my data should tell me that, right? It's that external looking in at myself, right? Because we get so busy as humans into our day-to-day work, we really have a hard time objectively evaluating ourselves, and data is really good for helping us face reality. Right. And so with that, and still every iteration, I stop, just like in Scrum, I do a retrospective, but with a little bit of data, it gives me the fact, okay, this isn't quite working. Let's try this other technique. whether it's an agile technique or traditional technique. Let's see if this helps us. Let's test that out one or two cycles. What does our data say? And then we can either keep it because it shows an improvement. We can get rid of it if it makes us worse. Or if it's just a change for a sake of change, but really shows no benefit, we can pick and choose. Well, did we like doing it more than what we did before? If we liked what we did before, there's no impact. Well, let's just pick that other technique, right? Because it was easier and it was more fun, right? And so that's really what teams have to do. And you have to be able to empower teams to do that as an organization by giving them a consistent framework to make those decisions across the organization is really key to allowing those agile techniques where it's really, you know, knowledge worker, collaborative decision-making environment, a lot of trust has to be there, right? And some of that consistency in that core framework, as long as everyone's following those frameworks, they can now communicate and they can start building that trust in terms of ability to make their commitments and to actually articulate where they stand, right? Ahead or behind schedule, what's the quality of my product? Why did I pick these methods versus some other methods, right? They'll have data to help them support those decisions and those discussions with executives and leaders, which can also help maintain the sponsorship, maintain the need for and be able to articulate the value of doing things the way they're doing it.
So very good. For the folks, for our listeners out there that may be interested in TSP, if you could give them one site, where are you sending them to? Where are you pointing users to go to learn about TSP?
Well,
want more information.
Well, there's two sites, I guess I would say. Well, if you go to the SEI's website, right, and so www.sei.cmu.edu, if you just do /TSP, you go to TSP's homepage. There you'll find some technical reports, things of that nature. If you want to hear from actual users of the TSP technology, I would actually go to the SEI's website, but after the EDU, it would be /TSP Symposium, and go to the Proceedings tab on there, and you'll get basically, it's like 5 years worth of presentations. You'll hear what Microsoft felt about it, Intuit, DoD, Hill Air Force Base. So there's just a huge variety, and I just think that's more powerful than any technical report.
Thank you for joining us. This recording and a downloadable transcript are available on sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. If you have any questions, please email us at info@sei.cmu.edu.